Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today we're embarking on a really vital journey into a topic that truly touches everyone's lives, mental health. We've been handed this remarkably comprehensive guide. It focuses on mental health services and support in a particular area, North Tyneside, specifically Wallsend in the UK. And it's just packed with detail, isn't it? From, you know, broad community efforts right down to very specific local resources.
It really is. And what truly stands out, I think, is how it moves beyond just a directory. It's not just a list. It vividly illustrates the community's proactive, sort of multi-layered approach to mental well-being. So our mission today really is to extract the key insights from this, to show you how a local area can build a robust mental health ecosystem, and crucially, what that actually means for individuals who are looking for support.
Yeah, that frames it perfectly. It's not just what services exist, but understanding the whole architecture of support, how it all fits together. So if you're looking for a clearer map through that landscape, or maybe you're just curious about how communities are tackling this essential issue, well, let's dive in.
Okay, understanding mental health first. The big picture in North Tyneside. Right off the bat, the guide hits us with a pretty stark statistic. One in four people, one in four will experience a mental health problem at some point. It really drives home just how common this is, doesn't it? It affects people from all walks of life. Age, background, status, none of it matters.
And that prevalence, that statistic, it leads straight to a really crucial question the guide tackles. If it is so common, why is it still so hard for people to talk about?
Yeah. The source highlights that many people, certainly in North Tyneside, feel anxious about discussing it. Worried about judgment, maybe.
We're just not knowing where to turn.
Exactly. Or simply unaware of where to go. And it really underscores that point. Mental health is just as important as physical health.
Yeah.
But it's often treated so differently.
Definitely. But what's really noteworthy here, I think, is how the guide shows North Tyneside actively tackling that stigma.
Oh, so?
Well, we see these local initiatives, community education, awareness campaigns. They feature personal stories from residents, which can be so powerful.
The lived experience.
Yeah, sharing their experiences of accessing support. And there's enhanced training, too, for healthcare professionals, so they can address mental health with, you know, greater sensitivity. It feels like a real concerted effort.
The multi-pronged approach. That makes sense. Okay, so if we connect that effort to reduce stigma with the practicalities, pathways to support, the guide talks about moving from your GP through to self-referral.
Yes, and a core principle that comes through really strongly is the importance of having multiple coordinated pathways. It's not just one door. The guide details how different bodies, NHS trusts, the local council, voluntary organizations, actually work together. It's basically a coordinated care model.
That coordination sounds absolutely vital. I mean, we've all heard stories where things fall through the cracks.
Right. The guide mentions the North Tyneside Clinical Commissioning Group, the CCG, which oversees the planning and the funding.
For NHS services mainly.
Exactly. And they hold regular multi-agency meetings. That seems key for smooth communication, making sure referrals work, keeping services updated. They even mention care coordinators who work across these different organizations to provide, and this is their phrase, joined up support.
Joined up support. That's the goal, isn't it?
Yeah. And the guide consistently points to the GP, the general practitioner, as that crucial first point of contact for many people.
The traditional route.
Right. If you're struggling, your GP can assess things and potentially refer you to the right NHS mental health services, like North Tyneside Talking Therapies is mentioned.
Okay, but it's important to stress, isn't it, that while GP referrals are central, many services mentioned also offer self-referral.
Ah, okay, so you don't always have to go via the GP.
Exactly. And that's a really significant insight, I think. It removes a potential barrier, maybe reduces waiting times, and it empowers people, you know. Lets them take a more immediate step in seeking support themselves.
That makes a lot of sense, giving people agency. So we've got the big picture, the strategy. Let's maybe zoom in on some specific services mentioned, bring it to life a bit. The Anxious Minds Recovery Center, that's highlighted. Yeah. It's in Wallsend Memorial Hall.
Yes, Anxious Minds. This center really seems to exemplify that flexibility we were just talking about. They offer self-referral. They even have an open door policy during certain hours just for initial advice.
Wow, just walk in.
Apparently so, for that initial chat. And online referral options too. They do accept GP referrals, but crucially, they don't require them. And their assessment process is designed to be, well, straightforward and supportive. It leads to a personalized plan. It really sounds like a model of accessibility.
Definitely lowers the threshold for reaching out.
Yeah.
And the other one mentioned prominently was North Tyneside Talking Therapies. That's an NHS service.
Mm-hmm. Talking therapies. This is where you can discuss concerns with trained therapists. Access therapies like CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Right, CBT. For people who might not know, that's a really practical type of talking therapy, isn't it? It helps you manage problems by changing how you think and behave.
Exactly. It helps individuals identify and challenge those unhelpful thought patterns, those behaviors, and gives them tools, really, to manage common issues like anxiety and depression. And it's all in a safe, confidential setting.
Okay, so specific services like Anxious Minds and Talking Therapies exist.
So the next logical question is, are these kinds of services available for everyone? Different age groups?
Good question. And yes, the guide clearly shows a commitment to age-specific support. It's not one size fits all. For children and young people, there's North Tyneside CMHS services. That's Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services.
Right, CMHS. Standard NHS provision for under 18s with more significant issues.
Yeah, they provide specialist support for a whole range of mental health issues, from mild right through to severe. And then for the slightly older group, 11 to 18-year-olds, the guide highlights COOTH.com.
COOTH. That's an online platform, isn't it?
Exactly. Online support. It offers anonymous, confidential counseling, support, advice, all on a drop-in basis. That digital flexibility must be incredibly valuable for teenagers.
Absolutely. Meeting them where they are. And there's another interesting angle here, the school-based approach. The guide talks about mental health support teams. These have trained education mental health practitioners, and they work directly in schools.
In the schools themselves?
Yes. Offering early intervention, individual support, group sessions. It really normalizes seeking help. Actually, there's a quote from a professional in the source saying, "The school-based approach helps to normalize conversations about mental health and reduces barriers to accessing support."
That makes total sense. Embed it right there. And teacher training is part of that, too.
Yes. Teacher training is mentioned as integral, equipping school staff.
And this tailored support isn't just for younger people. The guide also details resources for adults, covering common things like anxiety, depression, stress-related conditions, alongside more specialized care pathways.
Right.
And it even touches on workplace mental health support, things like employee assistance programs or EAPs, and having trained mental health first aiders within companies.
So really trying to cover different life stages and settings, home, school, work.
Exactly.
Okay, but what about urgent situations, crises? Yes, the guide addresses that directly. For immediate mental health intervention, there's the Crisis Resolution and Home Treatment Team.
Crisis Team, okay.
They provide a 247 emergency response across North Tyneside, offering intensive support for severe crises with the aim of preventing hospital admission if possible.
And who's in that team?
It includes psychiatric nurses, social workers, psychiatrists, a multidisciplinary team.
And how do you access them?
You can get access via NHS 111, that's the non-emergency medical helpline number in the UK, or through your GP, or even A&E. The hospital emergency department in really severe cases.
Good to know those routes exist. But beyond crisis, what about prevention and sort of community level support?
Mm-hmm. Very important.
The guide details social prescribing initiatives. It mentions the Wallsend PCN social prescribing team. PCN is primary care network, groups of GPs working together.
Right. Social prescribing, what does that involve there?
Well, this team organizes community activities, things like monthly coffee mornings, fortnightly gardening drop-in groups, connecting people.
Okay, so social prescribing.
Yep.
This model offers a really profound insight, I think, into preventative mental health. It's basically a strategic recognition that things like loneliness or debt or housing problems, these non-medical factors are often the root causes of mental distress.
Yeah, the social determinants of health.
Exactly. So by proactively connecting individuals with community groups, voluntary organizations, activities, it addresses these factors. It aims to stop mild concerns from escalating. It's really fundamental, moving beyond just treating symptoms to actually building community resilience.
That's a great way to put it, building resilience. And linked to that, I suppose, are the community support groups and peer support.
Tell me about those.
These are for any adult over 18 who might be facing stressful times, depression, anxiety. They're facilitated by trained peer support workers.
Ah, peer support. People with lived experience.
Often, yes. People who've been through similar things. And the guide notes these groups are just invaluable for reducing isolation. They often feel more accessible, less formal, perhaps, than clinical services.
Mm-hmm. Less intimidating.
Yeah. And they help people build social networks, rebuild confidence, It's all about connection and that shared understanding.
That shared experience can be incredibly powerful.
Definitely. So after exploring all these different layers of support, the NHS, the community groups, the crisis teams, what does this all mean for, you know, your own personal well-being? How can you apply this?
Well, the guide highlights something called the 5 ways to well-being.
Ah, yes, I've heard of this.
It's a simple framework, but it's evidence-based and really effective. It provides a practical roadmap for individuals.
So what are the 5 ways?
Okay, so number one is connect, building meaningful relationships, friends, family, community groups, recognizing that we're social beings.
Makes sense.
2 is be active, engaging in physical activity, not just for physical fitness, but specifically because it reduces stress and anxiety.
Right, the mind-body connection.
Precisely. 3 is take notice. This is about mindfulness, really. Being present in the moment, appreciating everyday things around you.
Slowing down a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
4 is keep learning, continuous growth. Taking courses, learning new skills, picking up hobbies. It stimulates the mind, builds self-esteem.
Keeps things interesting.
And 5 is give, helping others. Whether that's formal volunteering, like with VOTA, the local volunteer agency mentioned, or just simple acts of kindness, it actually stimulates reward centers in the brain, improves your mood.
Connect. Be active, take notice, keep learning, give.
Those are the 5.
It's a wonderfully holistic approach, isn't it? Really empowers you to be an active participant in your own mental health journey. Recognizes it's built on many pillars, not just one thing.
Absolutely. It's not just about services for you, but things you can do. And thinking about services again, beyond the general support we've discussed, the guide also delves into more specialized areas.
Okay, like what?
Well, targeted therapies for specific conditions, like certain anxiety disorders or types of depression, intensive support for people with more severe long-term mental health conditions, and crucially, addiction and dual diagnosis support.
Dual diagnosis, meaning?
Meaning addressing both a mental health condition and a substance misuse issue at the same time, recognizing they often go hand in hand.
Right, they interact.
Exactly, so it requires integrated treatment. And often this incorporates peer support, too, from people who've recovered from similar challenges.
That lived experience perspective, again, very valuable. The guide also, and this feels recurrent, shines a light on digital mental health resources.
Ah, yes, the online tools and apps. They're becoming much more prevalent.
Definitely. There are online self-help tools mentioned, like the Every Mind Matters plan from the NHS, which offers personalized support, and a growing list of NHS-approved mental health apps. Mm. Things like Calm Harm, Catch It, Sleepio are named.
Apps for specific issues like self-harm, urges, anxiety, or sleep problems.
Yeah. Plus links to national resources like the Mind website, the Mental Health Foundation, and even local digital communities. And a lot of these are free, accessible anytime.
That accessibility is a huge advantage. Removes barriers of time, location, even stigma sometimes.
True.
But thinking about the support network, what about the people around the person struggling, the carers? The family.
That's a really important point. And yes, the guide actually dedicates crucial space to carers and family members. It doesn't forget them.
Good.
The North Tyneside Carer Center is highlighted. It offers dedicated support specifically for carer.
What kind of support?
Things like well-being assessments for the carer themselves, counseling, practical advice on navigating the benefit system or the mental health services maze. It really acknowledges the immense strain that caring can involve.
That's vital. Carer burnout is a real issue.
Absolutely. And the deep dive continues into that practical support realm, recognizing mental health isn't just about clinical stuff.
Right. The wider factors.
Yeah. The North Tyneside Citizens Advice Bureau, or CAB, offers free, confidential advice on things like debt, financial worries, housing problems.
Which can be huge underlying contributors to mental distress, money worries, insecure housing.
Exactly. And linked to that, the North Tyneside Council's welfare rights team provides specialist advice on maximizing income, claiming benefits you're entitled to.
Practical help.
And housing support services, too, helping with tenancies or if someone's facing homelessness. Even initiatives addressing fuel poverty, emergency food support, they're all mentioned as part of this comprehensive network.
Yeah.
So it's really acknowledging those broader socioeconomic factors that profoundly impact mental well-being. It's not just in a vacuum.
Precisely. It's a whole system view.
Okay, so we have services, community support, practical help. What about just finding reliable information, cutting through the noise online?
Good point. The guide emphasizes accessible, reliable info. There's the Living Well North Tyneside platform online, designed as a kind of one-stop shop, bringing many of these resources together digitally.
A central hub. That's useful.
Yeah.
And speaking of accessible information, the guide spotlights an often underestimated resource, the local library.
Oh, interesting. How do libraries fit in?
Well, North Tyneside Libraries offer the Reading Well Books on Prescription scheme.
Books on prescription?
Yeah. It provides quality-assured mental health information through books. These are books endorsed by health professionals, covering various conditions and well-being topics.
And you just borrow them like any other book.
Yeah. It's exactly. Freely available. No referral needed. They even have dedicated sections for young people. And library staff are trained to sensitively signpost visitors to the right support if needed.
That's fantastic. Using a familiar community asset like the library for health information. Really clever.
It is, isn't it? Lowers barriers again. So I suppose, in summary, this deep dive really shows us that North Tyneside is building, or has built, a truly comprehensive and, I think, compassionate network of mental health support.
Yeah, comprehensive feels like the right word.
And it emphasizes that early intervention, combined with the multifaceted approach, professional help, community support, self-help strategies that mix, often yields the best, most sustainable outcomes.
It really comes through clearly that seeking help is being presented as a sign of strength, definitely not weakness, and that you are absolutely not alone if you're going through difficulties. The whole landscape of support seems to be evolving, becoming more personalized, more accessible, and really focused on recovery, on living well.
Recovery focused is a key shift.
As we wrap up this deep dive then, here's maybe something to think about. We've talked a lot about formal services, community groups, reducing isolation, those five ways to well-being. But what if your own active participation, even in really small ways, maybe a genuine conversation with a neighbor, a simple kind gesture, perhaps sharing a skill you've learned, what if that could directly contribute to strengthening the mental health resilience of your entire community?
Interesting thought.
How might that shift our collective approach, moving beyond just relying on formal services to embracing the power of every single human connection and fostering well-being? Just something to mull over. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We really hope this exploration empowers you perhaps to understand and access support if you need it, or maybe just to appreciate the incredible efforts being made to foster mental well-being wherever you happen to be.
Indeed. Until next time, keep digging deeper.